This recording is from the ACA World Convention that was held virtually in May of 2021. The ACA World Service Organization is grateful to all who contributed to making this convention happen, as well as to all who participated. ACA is an anonymous program. Please respect the anonymity of those that participated in the event. To learn more about the ACA Fellowship, please visit us online at adultchildren.org, where you can find information for newcomers, as well as free literature for download. Information about doing service in the ACA Fellowship can be found at acawso.org and acawsoec.org. To purchase literature or to make a Seventh Tradition contribution, please go to shop.adultchildren.org. We hope you enjoy the following recording from the 6th Annual World Convention, Global Recovery, in May 2021.
My name is Christine. I'm an adult child. Welcome to the Annual World Convention. As we have been saying to everyone, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, and we hope you're still with us. A warm welcome to everybody all around the globe. As I said, my name is Christine B. I am chair of the Comline subcommittee of the literature committee. I am in Connecticut, and it's going to be my pleasure this evening to introduce you to a pilot project that we've been working on to transform the Comline newsletter into what's called a blog. And if you, like I, didn't know what a blog was, you're going to find out. Actually, very exciting. So I'm going to introduce our project with an initial PowerPoint, and then Brad L. and I are going to demonstrate a live version of this blog, followed by a Q&A and a plea to join us working on this. And then following our presentation, David McBee, who is the chair of the Literature Committee and is here with us, is going to spend some time kind of updating us on what's going on with the Literature Committee. So that's kind of our plan of the evening. Please be sure to rename yourself in the participant screen to show only your first name, last name, initial, and country. As we are on the green room, we're in a webinar, so everyone will be muted. And in order to share, you'll need to raise your hand and someone, not I, will be able to see that hand, I hope, and call on you when the time is right. This is going to be recorded on audio and distributed later. And we ask that you not record any audio, video, or pictures for confidentiality reasons. Also, please do not share the link to this conference. Each member should request their own access, and I'm guessing that most people have already done that. Only the active speakers will be unmuted. We are going to use the raise hand feature when we get to the Q&A. And please remember that what you hear at this meeting should stay at the meeting. We want to respect anonymity. I haven't heard a lot of people talk about the crosstalk, but crosstalk means interrupting, referring to or commenting on what another person has said during the meeting. And we also don't want to distract from whoever is sharing at the time. So with that, I'm going to ask us to take a deep breath, begin with the serenity prayer in whatever language works for you. And then we will go on to look at the PowerPoint and the block. So deep breath in. God, grant me the serenity, to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me.
That one is me.
And, you know, before I begin this, what will be a 20-minute, PowerPoint, which I have to find, first of all. I just want to thank all the people who have worked on this project. Charlie came up with this idea. He showed us Well, no, we're not going to talk about the Celtics. But yes, but that was, we spent some time looking at the Celtics, and we don't need to do that anymore. But it was a wonderful kind of wake-up call for all of us to think about a new way of being. So hopefully we can, I can share this and you can all kind of see where we've been. This is a pilot project. I need to say that at the very beginning, it is important. It has not been approved by the board. And so we will not go live until it is approved by the board. But we wanted to get ourselves to a stage where we had something to show that we thought was viable and exciting. And I believe that we do have that here this evening. So we do expect to be bringing this pilot project to the board. A little bit of information about why we are where we are. The Comline, as many of you know, at one point actually was a print newsletter, which I believe was mailed. Most recently, it's been an email quarterly newsletter organized around the steps and traditions of the quarter. And back issues are still available at acawso.org. So you can click on literature, find Comline, and you can find back issues. One of the challenges was it required extensive formatting using the InDesign platform. And when we lost our design team, which happened as of that January issue, we started rethinking both format and goals for Comline. And as those of you who heard me speak about volunteer opportunities earlier in the day know, I actually approached Charlie about Comline when we were in Malmo, Sweden at the convention there. Little did I know, I just wanted to write an article or two for Comline. Little did I know that we would end up, you know, completely re-envisioning Comline. But we have come up with some goals working with a committee. Our first goal was that it be an interactive blog with articles that refresh frequently. So instead of a quarterly newsletter where basically you just get information, we envisioned an actual conversation. We envisioned shorter articles, and we envisioned the possibility of worldwide people talking back and forth. Imagine that what you would do if you heard a speaker at a speaker meeting, and then you were to share after that speaker spoke. That's what we kind of have in mind. So there will be, assuming it's approved, a link on the homepage of adultchildren.org. So it's going to be a private blog available to our members. And the reply feature is, we're really viewing the reply feature as the really radical piece of this blog. And we are going to demonstrate this later on, but in order to make a reply, you have to have a name. You can make up your name, but you also need to put in an email address, which does not get published on the blog, but it's our way of being able to contact you. So we came up also with a series of categories, and I'll talk about those, and we will show them to you. The idea of the categories is, think of it as columns in a newspaper. So these particular categories will have content related to them. For example, loving parent. So for those of you who just heard Bonnie talk about the inner teenager, there'll be a place where people can have a conversation back and forth about their work in reparenting, about their work with the reparenting check-in, perhaps even their reaction to the loving parent guidebook. So that's what we're thinking about with categories. One of the strong commitments that this committee has is to widen the ability to the world. Because now 24/7, anybody can submit an article, anybody can write a reply any time of the day or night. And so we really are inviting our members from all around the world to participate in a conversation. The way I'd like to think of it is, imagine the conversations that are going on today at this conference, and then imagine having to wait for a year to have them again. You don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. We can keep the conversation going. And I think that's going to be a wonderful gift to our membership. We can tag keywords for access. So for example, let's say we have an article about the loving parent. We can put the tag word loving parent. When you tag on that word, all the articles that had loving parent in them will pop up so that you can read them. The newest content will be on top, as most blogs work, but all the content is going to be there somewhere on the blog. It's not going to disappear. So you can search it through keyword, and you'll also be able to search through author. And I'll talk a little bit more about authors in a moment. Also, super exciting, we intend to have translation software. Currently, the plan is that if an article is in English, you can click on it and you will hear audio translation into any one of a number of different languages. We also hope that authors will write in their native language. And when you see the blog, you're going to see an article written by Marcin in Polish. So ideally, we'd like it to be translated also into English, but you know what? It's fine, just the way it is. We're really excited. And finally, we're hoping to rename ComLine for a couple of reasons. I think one, to distinguish it from the old ComLine, but also to create some excitement and ownership for the membership. So we did put a request for ideas in the Traveler, I'm losing track of time here, January Traveler, and I'll share some of those with you in a moment. So the old ComLine had our wonderful editor, Marty, and a designer, and that was it. And every issue of ComLine then went to Charlie to read before it was approved and sent out. We envision a much bigger team now. We envision an editorial board with a liaison to the ACA board, a writer team who will write on topics identified by the editorial board. So let's say the editorial board meets once a month and it goes, you know, we really would like to have an article on what happened at the ABC. Can one of our writers talk to Karen or somebody else from the ABC committee and write an article? That is not, and we will also have an editor team that will do editing for length. We talked extensively about this, and we decided we do not wish to take people's submissions and edit them for content. We will edit them only for length. Now, if something comes in and the content as viewed by the editorial board is not yet ready for whatever reason to be on the blog, we will go back to that writer and we will work with you. We want to hear your voice. So that's my commitment as a writer to you as potential writers, that you're not going to go into a black hole. You will hear from us, and we do want to hear what you have to say. We are concerned about safety. We will have a monitor team that will look at any replies, that look that are flagged. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when you get to actually see the demo in a couple of minutes. But anybody can flag a comment. So if you see a reply and you think it's offensive, or you think it's there's something wrong with it one way or another, you will see that there is an actual flag you can put on it, and then it will go to the monitor team for evaluation. And finally, we'd like a publicity team. Nobody has stepped up yet, but we want to be able to get the word out. We want people to use the blog. So that's what we're hoping for. And this is how you can find us. We have a Slack channel. If you're on Slack, you'd like to be added to our channel. I am also on Slack, and Christine B, and you can contact me and we'll add you to the channel. I also have an email list. If you do not work on Slack and you wish to be notified by email, I can do that as well. You can contact me at literature@acawso.org. Currently, we meet the third Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. However, let's say you want to be a writer or let's say you want to be an editor. You do not have to come to every meeting that we have. We hope you will want to. We hope you'll find it fun. We are a fun crowd. However, we know that people are busy and you have limited time to volunteer. So not every team member needs to attend every meeting. We also are totally open to changing our meeting times to include worldwide participation. I know that 2 p.m. Eastern time works for England, sort of. I mean, it's the evening, but it works. It works for Russia, but I know it does not work for Australia. It does not work for the Far East. I know that. So if we have people who want to volunteer, let us know, and we'll find a time to meet that works for you. Safety features, very important. We'll be demonstrating them in a moment. First of all, we've worked on our posting policy. It will be clearly posted on the blog. If people have suggestions for things to add to the posting policy, we welcome them. We want people to know that we want appropriate posts, respectful posts, the same way you would talk in a meeting, the same thing you would do if you were sharing in a meeting. And fortunately, we all kind of already know what that is. We have a system that takes a whole list of inappropriate words or language. Brad and I have been having a lot of fun thinking up swear words, and those words will simply not be visible. So if you put those words in your reply, it will not get posted on the blog. And then finally, as I mentioned, members can flag content that they feel is inappropriate. We will have a monitor team, and we welcome members to join us in our monitor team because we want it to be respectful, and but we also want it to be substantive. We really do want people to be able to talk. So here are our initial six categories. We plan up to 12 categories. We hope that they can change regularly. And we want to respond to you to hear what you would like. This is just our beginning point to show you what's possible. Okay. So the first three, ACA toolbox, that encompasses the old steps and traditions and whatever else is in your toolbox. The second one, Voices of Recovery. In a few moments, I'm going to read you an article from Voices of Recovery. That's where members can share their own recovery stories. Beyond Borders is the name that Global has asked to add for their category. Is this exclusively for people who are beyond borders? No, but we feel that it's going to be a very good platform where people who are from other places or other places in North America, global, international, European can post. And then the last six, Loving Parent. Again, we chose it because we know the Loving Parent guidebook's coming out. We know a lot of people are interested in Loving Parent. So that's one of the ones we chose for now. ACA support, for those of you who are familiar with the quote unquote sponsorship committee, we are now referring to all different types of sponsorship, fellow traveler work, step work, all the different ways we support each other in program. We're calling it ACA support. So that's the reason for that title. And then WSO news is our sixth category. Here are some categories we're thinking about. And again, we'd love to hear from you as to what you might like to add in. We know that ACA in the arts is going to be important. Members used to submit photos, poetry, other kinds of artwork. We still want that. Boundaries, we heard two wonderful boundary presentations today. And my guess is boundaries is going to be a very good topic to add into our blog. Representation, equity, and accessibility. For those of you who came to the ABC, there was a wonderful presentation by Alaska and her ad hoc group talking about issues of folks who feel marginalized and how to bring them into, how to bring them more successfully into program. Young people, recovery milestones, staying safe, which is that old concept of some people are calling it predatory behavior, but it could be Zoom behavior. It could be lots of different things. And something we're calling ticket outside, which is basically, okay, now we're in a meeting, now we're leaving the meeting, now what happens, right? How do we practice our program at home? So again, these are just topics we're coming up with, and we want to hear from our membership as to what you'd like to hear. As I mentioned, we would like to find a new name for the blog. We will not try to do that until after we get approval of the ACA board. But these possibilities that you see on the screen have come from you, actually, the members. And so, you know, you could look at those and say, yeah, does that sound like a good blog topic? Connections, the solution, finding freedom. Again, these are all possibilities. So we want to hear from you. Please volunteer. The ACA WSO.org service will bring up a form, a volunteer form. You can check online. Also, as I mentioned, we communicate by Slack and email. You can email me directly. And if you have ideas or comments, please do mark your comment ACA blog, since I do get a lot of mail at the literature at aca.org email. Next steps, proposal for board approval. We will be creating a form for submission of articles. We're not ready to submit articles yet because we're not approved yet, but hopefully we will be soon. And recruiting members for our teams. So again, the volunteer form is acawso.org/service/markcomline. And I'd like to give the members of our committee an opportunity to say a word or two about this before I turn it over to Brad and ask him to demonstrate to you what our blog looks like. So Charlie, you can't talk about the Celtics, but you can talk about anything else.
I learned my lesson the first time this came up. Now, it was my response to trying to answer the question, what is a blog? Basically, it's not a new thing. It's essentially an easily updated website. It's very easy to post new items, up they go. It also has a potential for interactivity. Actually, many news sites, you sort of see this where you'll see a column by an opinion columnist, and then there's a place for comments by people afterwards. Now, what's a little different in our world is we're trying, much as we do in any setting, including the AWC, to elicit more immediacy. You know, people, when you pick up, the old comm line, I think among the reasons it sort of declined, the idea of waiting for a quarterly PDF that comes out every 3 months and it's talking about three steps, three traditions. I think that's just a bit of an outdated model. You know, people move faster. I mean, in a world where, you know, Twitter and Instagrams are just flying by people's eyes all the time, it just simply was a form that didn't allow much energy, much interaction, things that are much more the norm these days. And so our thinking is this kind of presentation, and where it really took life was when Brad started experimenting and demonstrating visuals of what this could be. We probably had about 7 to 8 people on our committee most of the time. And the experience was like, wow, this is something I'd want to look at. Because again, with an electronic web-based format, you might get 2 or 3 articles coming in during the week, certainly additional posts coming back from readers also create sort of newness, energy. And it is, as Christine said, really more a conversation rather than a magazine that you're reading. And so I think really and truly, I would like to turn over to Brad to do a demonstration, because for the absolute experience, and I think when this kind of went from a kind of, yeah, maybe that's an idea, maybe that's not, to a, wow, we want to do this, was actually when Brad gave a first demonstration. And then it's come leaps and bounds over the last 5 months. So it's our hope that others will share the same sense of excitement, the same sense of, this is something I not just want to read, but want to participate in. And something that really, truly, as Christine said, bring all corners of the planet together in a way that the traditional comm line probably would struggle to. As I say, the energy really began when Brad started working this. So Brad, if I can turn the floor over to you.
Thanks, Charlie, Christine. It's really been rather fun. We're working in this committee. I didn't know I'd like working literature projects so much. One of the things is before I bring this up, just remember this is a pilot. It's not a completely finished product. So as I explained some things, a few things won't work. So let's go ahead and get that screen share going. Okay, great. So you'll see that this is the first part of here is a slider. You'll notice that probably most of you cannot read this because this is a Polish article. This part will go through the various automatically various different articles and so forth that come up. These are the latest four and so forth. Just brings a little.
Hey, Brad, can you enlarge it a bit?
Oh, I forgot.
It's okay.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
So, and this just brings a little excerpt of it up here. These are the latest four. Let's go down to some of the categories here that Christine spoke of. Categories are just groupings of various articles. So they're a way to search for things. So we have ACA support, Loving Parent, ACA Toolbox, ACA Beyond Borders, WSO News, and Voices of Recovery. Basically, what's going to happen is when I click on one of those, it's going to show all the articles in that category. Then we're going to go on. There's a few cutesy things I put in here, like you put in there. It zooms a little bit, so forth. And then it'll show the latest four articles up there. So one of the things about blogs is, how do I find what I'm looking for? So that's a big deal. So you can, before I start show clicking on stuff, I'm just going to show you how. So there's the categories. You can six here. You can also have the same categories here. You can go to. You can do a keyword search. You can do tags, like articles have been tagged with specific words. You can go through months and go to articles months. You can also choose the author. Okay. So let's go ahead and choose WSO News. Okay, so you see we got two articles on this page. And then we've got our same stuff over here. Oops, I should have said there is the posting policy over here, and you can submit your own article for review. So let's go into one of these articles. So we're going to go into the Loving Parent one, and it's going to have the article itself, and it's going to have an option to reply. Before I go into the reply, we talked about filtering by category. You can do that, but you can also just click on, oops, whoop, looks like there's something to work on there. Look at how those things shake. Okay, so let's go. We can click on disassociation, and it brings up this article. And then the months, that's pretty obvious. And then you can click on Charlie and see what he's written. He's contributed this article. So let's go and choose, let's go back to that Numb No More article. Okay, you can see that you can go in here and you can just type your name. You can say, this is the best blog ever. So very humble, right? You just type in your name and your email. Okay, the email is just a tracking system for internally, so forth. It does not show. But some of the cool things about this, so for example, if the author puts their email into the system when they write the article, and they also post with that same email, we won't be able to see the email, but the system will know that email, and it'll put an author tag if they decide to reply. So you'll actually see a reply from the author. There's a little bell here you can click to get their replies to come to your email. Okay, so. One of the things is we have some nice replies here, but oh, look at this. We have an ugly reply. I wonder who could have possibly done that, and who would have written Scooby-Dee run there. So anyway, what you do is you can end up flagging it. You say that this comment is abusive, and we'll end up clicking to send. And it's already flagged. The system is not totally functional right now, but I can show you it working correctly. And I will just unapprove that. And let's see how this works. And now we should be able to refresh. And poor
Brad, I'll do one too.
And poor Scooby should go away. And okay. Goodbye, Scooby. It was fun knowing you. So that's how that works. If it gets flagged, it's just going to be reviewed, so forth, and see if there's something inappropriate about it. If it's not inappropriate, it'll just go right back there. And those are that's how we do this. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Christine.
Thank you. What I'd like to do actually is I'd like to go ahead and read the article, Numb No More, because I'm looking at it in a somewhat bigger screen. But I want to demonstrate to you what's possible here. And some of the comments that people put on, I think show what we hope this blog can accomplish. So if you'll bear with me, here's how it begins. When I entered recovery over 2 years ago, the left side of my body felt numb. There was nothing medically wrong with me. I was dissociated from my body. Slowly, I began to recapture feeling by doing dance. Recently, I went to a dance class and found the room was empty. At some point, I realized that the whole big dance room was for me, only for me. I could not accept it. I was very scared. Then I remembered how the door to my room was never closed and how everyone was passing by to the toilet observed me. I had no privacy. I never had my own space. I never felt safe in my home. I had no room. I told that to my teacher. And then I told myself, yes, this big dance room with many mirrors is for you. It is for you only. After that, I felt energy and I felt something different in that left part of my body. The left part became strong. It became very strong. I felt the left and the right parts equally. It was very astonishing. I kept the feeling. I'm about to cry now. I prayed for the wholeness the last several months. I feel as if a surgeon puts together, sews with a thread, two parts of my body. And these two parts are becoming a body. A whole body. I walk differently. I feel strength in the left part. When I was walking to an ACA meeting, my left part was uncomfortable, with some pain even. I was moaning about neglect it had. I think my little girl is connected somehow to the left part, or maybe she lives there. I said to my left part, I understood the suffering it had. If it liked, it could moan and feel unwell for any time. I recognized and validated the sufferings of the left part. Even my voice was very confident at the meeting tonight. I prayed before going to bed. I feel different. I feel my left part almost as I feel the right part. I have two parts coming together. It's a real miracle. I do exist with equal parts. I can get what I want. I do have my own space, room, dance room. I can buy any food my little girl wants. My left part is strong. I should follow God and listen to him and my soul. And that is from one of our members from Moscow. Her name is Anastasia. And you can see, I put a comment here in order to flag it, right? That I hate it. And of course, this comment is abusive. So it's now been flagged. Okay. But I wanted to point out to you that, you know, Helen wrote a lovely comment. I am reminded of how I loved to dance as a little girl. Dancing enabled me to express my most authentic self. It brought me to life and made me feel vibrant. Sometimes I find myself dancing spontaneously, usually in the morning soon after I wake up. I know this is the response of my inner child, rejoicing at the integration that is taking place within, thanks to ACA Recovery. Thanks for sharing your insight. And then Marcin, who wrote the lovely Polish piece on our website, which we'll look at in a moment, says, as a person suffering some body ailments, I can relate to some of what you said. I can also relate to the fact that you had no room for yourself. I grew up in Poland, and during my childhood, I had to share a room, which functioned as a kitchen, dining room, bedroom for my parents, and my bedroom with my parents. So I know how you might have felt feeling that you had no space. I'm happy for you that you found your space in the dance room. So, and I'm really happy about those two pieces because I just think that they really demonstrate what we had hoped that this blog could accomplish, which is a real conversation and an empathy for, you know, for our members. So, I wanted, Brad, can you show us Marcin's piece? I just wanted everybody to see how cool that is. So Brad said to Marcin, I love your piece in Polish, but what's the title? I don't even know what to title it. So he gave him a title. And thank you, Caitlin. So Brad worked really hard. One of the things he did that obviously has been super, super fun for him is to find images. That the dancing image of that went with Anastasia's piece it just really brings joy, I think, to everybody's heart. And that's one of Brad's, I don't know, Brad, is that your inner child working on finding those photos?
Absolutely. It's super fun. I mean, that photo of that woman dancing, you know, everything's muted back. She's having fun. And then she has those red pants. And it just really called to my inner child.
So Brad and Christine, I have one other question about that. One other reason I always like web stuff is unlike a printed paper page, which is just words. I think you can, certainly we're seeing a lot of pictures here. At least down the road, is it possible if somebody wanted to submit a song? So like we were hearing some songs today at the AWC, is that something you could just go ahead and put into a blog like this?
Yeah, I can take questions like that. Yeah, we'll be able to take, audio as well as written. And what's coming is I almost installed it today, but I was like the cautious tech inside me.
We're
like,
busy today, Brad.
Do not install something new 15 minutes before
the call,
presentation.
By the way.
So I actually had the website backed up and I was thinking about doing it. And I was like, I was like, I had to stop my inner child's excitement and bring 50-year-old Brad back. What it's going to do is, for example, you could have an article in English and there'll be a play button here. And I don't know how many languages it does. I think it does at least 9 different languages. So it can read it to you. It's not going to be perfect because it's going to be done by AI, but there's, I don't know, 10 different voices and so forth. And we're going to demo it and have some people from Global like Marcin to tell us if it's any good, but we're looking forward to having that translate.
I'd like to show you our posting policy. I'm not sure whether.
Christine, before you move on, question got very timely. Anna K asked, could somebody submit original pictures for the site to use?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, what we're hoping is that, as you can see, and I guess I should have made this comment earlier. So the categories themselves have photographs behind them, and those photographs may change, but we weren't expecting that they would necessarily change. But we're hoping that when people write an article for the blog, they will submit what they would like to see in the way of artwork to go with it. You can go on unsplash.com. There are various free websites for photographs. We also have a member of our team, Nicholas, who is happy to help you find photos if you'd like to do that. And if you want to do an original photo, we also can do an original photo. So we've got lots of different options available for us for photography. But as Brad has said, it's very clear that this is one of the things that makes the blog exciting, is to be able to see, changing artwork and just kind of give us that that excitement feature. Yeah.
Yeah, really, any photo that you either own or that is in the public domain, 640 pixels and above will be just fine.
So let me just read the posting policy to you. Brad, you might want to, I'm looking at a bigger copy of it so I can read it, but you might want to pull it up on the blog. So when you go to the front page of the blog, you can pull up our posting policy. We may eventually make it look prettier than it looks right now. But what we say is we welcome both blog posts from members on the submission button, as well as reply comments to posted articles. You may post using your first name and last initial or anonymously. You will be asked for an email address to post a reply, but it will not appear on the reply itself. Please be respectful in your comments and be guided by our traditions. Our system will flag and reject any comment that contains swear words. Members may identify any post that violates the policy guidelines posted below, which will be monitored and removed if appropriate. And then I've actually taken these, I believe, from the Library of Congress. Do not post any content that contains abusive, vulgar, offensive, racist, threatening, or harassing content, personal attacks of any kind, or offensive terms that target specific individuals or groups. Do not post any content that promotes services or products or that involves political campaigning or lobbying. Do not post any personal information, whether your own or someone else's, including home address, home or cell phone number, or personal email address, in order to protect privacy. And do not post anything that you do not have the right to post or include links to copyright infringing material. So again, that's just where we are at the moment with that. That's kind of our preliminary version of our posting policy. But we welcome comments from members. We want to ensure as safe a place as we can ensure, knowing that we want members to have open and honest conversations. And with that, I think what we'd like to do is open it up to questions from anyone who's watching. And I guess the raise hand feature is the way to do that. Is that right, Brad?
Yeah, let's do that. I think Aaron is up first. You can just go ahead and unmute yourself, Aaron.
Hi there. I think this is an amazing idea. I was just wondering what if you know the timeline for presenting this to the board and maybe when this might actually become something to go live?
I personally am ready to go. Brad, are you ready to go?
No, I have, there are just a few bugs in it. I can just tell you right off the bat, there was, you know, just a couple of cosmetic things that you probably saw, some things did not line up quite perfectly, some things shook a little bit, and the flagging system needs to be done, and the audio thing needs to be tested. But, you know, I think, you know, within the month, I think everything could be done, at least technically. Charlie?
Yeah, it's a good question, Aaron. My experience with anything new, and this is obviously a very significant departure from how things have been done in the past. I would not say never I'm chair of the board. I would never say that we never get something through first time where people go, fantastic, go for it. Usually what you do get is a lot of not only questions, but I would actually say really excellent questions. So I think that's one thing I would anticipate, that just as we're doing this discussion, getting feedback as to whether people think this is kind of has the right sensibility and the like. I'm sure that's going to go a few rounds is my guess. But the other thing is, even if it goes live, I suspect we will probably have a very, be doing a lot of review of it in assuming we have the go ahead to go forward. I expect there'll be a lot of very intensive review in the early months. You know, safety is a huge issue. You know, the flagging system, is that good enough? Is that quick enough to really protect the space? If it's not, then we'll have to look at other alternatives. But basically, you know, do people participate and use it the way we hope? I mean, I think it's a lot of unknowns, but right now we're sort of, Brad and this committee has done a great job in terms of developing a prototype for comment. So I know one thing that'd be very helpful tonight before anything goes to the board for further discussion is, again, just feedback. So if I can ask you, Aaron, your first reaction, do you actually like what you say?
Oops, that was my fault. I hit the wrong button. Was
we it want Aaron? Your feedback.
Well, was it Aaron D or Aaron L?
It was not Aaron D. It was another Aaron. Here we go. Aaron L. Yes.
Sorry about that, Aaron.
No, that's user okay. Error. No worries. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. My first reaction was, honestly, this kind of thing is what needs to happen, I think, in order to kind of move the organization forward and attract new members. It's forward thinking. That's the first thing I thought. And yeah, I love the comment idea. I mean, the ability to make comments to somebody's article, and the fact that you're also thinking about including different kinds of formats, you know, like poetry or images or what have you. I think it could be a really dynamic way of letting people know that, you know, there's a space for them to express themselves. And overall, I mean, I think it's a wonderful idea.
Thank you. That's very, very helpful. You.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Okay, we'll go to Julianne. You can go ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad. I love the idea. I just want to start there. I think the idea is great. I've had a blog for years. I think they're awesome. Are we risking falling afoul of cancel culture? And the reason that I say that is, if what we're going to do is flag offensive posts and articles, personally, I think the article that Christine read was offensive. I'm not going to go into why, but there were three or four words in there that were highly offensive to me in my recovery. I'm used to being the minority voice in the room. I know most people aren't going to find them offensive. I do. So how are we going to handle things like this where you know, what I think is a swear word, you don't. What you think is a swear word is part of my common everyday language. What you find offensive, I find accountable. What I find offensive, you find part of everyday God language. How are we going to work things like that out? And that's my question.
Thanks, Julianne. I think the first thing to say is that there will not be one person making these decisions. These decisions will be made thoughtfully by a committee of people, and we welcome you to join the committee. My personal hope is that we allow as wide a divergence of views as we would allow in a meeting, where people could say things in a meeting that some of us might not like. I don't think that warrants a flag. I think what warrants a flag is things that involve personal attacks, shaming, bad language, et cetera. But that's something that's gonna have to be worked out by committee, and you can be rest assured that the board will be asking those questions.
Thanks, Christine.
And I might also add, Julianne, there's really in many ways, except for the comment feature, that's really not different from the comm line as it's existed. There's always been an editorial decision of, do we wanna run this article? I would say the words that I suspect you're offended by probably have appeared a lot in the traditional, you know, comm line, because it's simply part of the program. So I think rather than just, is anybody going to be offended? I think really more the standard is there something here which really violates either the principles or ethos of the program? You know, for instance, calling somebody stupid would so violate our values about not shaming people. But the fact that I might have an opinion about recovery that really you're not comfortable with, or vice versa, that I think falls more in the space of what Christine's talking about, that either could happen in a meeting or could happen with the traditional comm line we've always had. David's hand is up.
Yeah, we're going to have a divergence of opinions. That's what makes it positive. I mean, mm-hmm. to me, you're going to, one of the interesting things I read in a book by Chavez, it was a biography of Bill Wilson, actually by a writer, not a recovery writer. And one of the things that she said was one of the things that kept the electricity alive was the dynamic between, you know, the atheists on one side and the Bible thumpers on the other. It wasn't that they were opposites. It was kind of like the lymph system in the body. They kept the energy flowing, you know, because you tell me, you know, I got to have Jesus to get recovery, I'm like, see you later, you know. But other people would be offended if I say that, which I have said in meetings that got too religious, that, you know, I pray to Jesus to protect me from his followers. So, you know, that there's going to be divergent views as long as there's not shaming involved. In other words, you know, if you don't believe in Allah, you're going to go to hell. I mean, it's we got to have divergent views. We're a very diverse group. We may be more diverse than any other 12-step program because we really work on being exclusive, and our stuff is not chiseled in granite, which, I mean, I know for a fact that the delegates of AA are struggling with a large movement to get rid of majority of their, let's just call it what it is, misogynistic, paternalistic creation writing in the books. Mm. So, I mean, that's a hard mountain to move, but it's got shoulders to it. So, you know, that's I think we're in a lot better position, but we got to be open to all the different sides, you know, and that's part of our real recovery. Thank you.
I think we just have to really do the best we can. And I think the best we can means having a diverse group of people on there, you know, atheists and, you know, religious people, people of color, international people, and we'll do our best. So sometimes we may get it wrong, and hopefully we'll learn from it. But I don't want to throw out the whole tool because we might make a mistake. But it's good question, Julian.
Are there any other hands up? Because I also have one Q&A question I'd like to.
We have three more hands up.
Okay, and then I have one question I'd like to get to about copyright policy.
Okay. Mark, you're next. you can go ahead and unmute yourself, Mark.
Thanks for calling on me. There's two things I thought. One, this would be good because it makes people, I think it'll help people to want to go to the website of World Service website. It has, because it has more interaction. And the other thing is
oops, Mark, can you lean into your mic a little bit?
The other thing is to make make a column for about how to have fun.
Mm.
Thanks. Good topic. Thank Excellent. You.
Thanks for the reminder of that. Yep. Easy to forget as an ACA.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Bye. Thank you.
Okay. Monica, you're up and you can unmute yourself.
Actually, it's my husband, Kevin.
Okay. Kevin, you're up.
All right. Thank you. So, first of all, I think this is really, really cool, and I hope it works because this is just really spectacular, the interactiveness, the energy that would be generated, and casting such a wide net. I do have a question also about the safety and the flagging. I'm wondering, is there going to be AI software involved in that, or is it going to be strictly by committee? And then I think you brought up the thing about, you know, are we going to be quick enough to make it safe, since you have people coming in from all over the world and it will basically be a 24/7 site? Then, I mean, is this committee going to check the flags once a day, several times a day, once a week? What's the frequency? And if not, would it be possible to use AI software to seek out certain abusive language, phrases, whatever? Like, for example, Christine's working on the list of swear words. So I was just wondering how that's going to work.
I guess I could speak to that a little bit. Going through it, first of all, the swear words are easier. So, because if a post just contains an F-bomb, it's not going to go through the system to be shown. That's that. Second of all, the flagging system works, and it has to be determined how many flags have to be how many flags have to be clicked, one, two, so forth, before it comes down from the site and triggers an email. So things that are people think are abusive can be automatically removed if they receive X number of flags. I say X because I don't know what that number is. So it could be in the middle of the night for me in Maryland, USA, or it could be on the daytime, the other side of the world. Right now, we're not looking at a higher level AI system. Maybe in the future, but we are going to review everything that's flagged. We're going to have a team that does that.
But Kevin, to your point, and Brad, correct me if I'm wrong. If we decide, for example, that we'll go initially with one flag. Let's just say we decide that. Once it's flagged, it's removed until we decide that it's okay to put it back up. In other words, it's automatically off the website once there's a flag on it. It doesn't sit there waiting for us to go look at the flag.
Yeah, I don't know. That's my question. Sorry, how often does that happen?
Okay, that's a user-based thing. So users can flag something. So if you see something in the middle of the night or the day that you think is abusive, you can flag it. And if the flag is set as one, the next time you refresh your screen, that post will be gone and it'll be into the review queue. And I don't and how often that's going to happen with the flagging, I really don't know. I guess it's going to be an empirical question.
I actually have a question. Kevin, if I could turn a question back to you. It sounds to me like your concern is we might not be monitoring quickly enough, that this system we're proposing would work better if there was less of a time between a flag and when we checked it out. Is that a kind of a correct understanding of what you're thinking?
Yeah, but Brad just answered my question. Okay, he Brad, said, if I flag it and you set the bar at one or two flags and then it's gone and then it goes to review, then that means it's built into the system. That's why I was asking about the AI software. So if that's how it works, I think that's great. And I'll just say one other positive note is I love all the different categories because there's so many different ways and venues, I guess, to interact with this. So I think that's fantastic, especially the translations and having the artwork and just all the different categories. I think, as the first person who shared brought up, it's really going to bring a lot of people, especially younger people, into this, because that's what they're used to. That is the future. This is the future, and you guys are right in on the cutting edge of it. I think Monica had a chat question, but I'll concede the rest of my time to her.
Oh, I was just wondering, Kevin said, Christine, that you had posted an email. I missed it in your slide, I guess. I just wondered if you could repost that in the chat.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hey, Nicholas is also on the committee. I just brought that's why I brought him up here. We've got the next question is Monica.
Monica.
I don't think that's me. I'll lower my hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are Monica. That's what we call user error. Stefan.
Hi guys, thanks for doing this. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm looking forward to the Comline coming back. My question was, I think it's going to be what Charlie was going to address about the ownership of the intellectual property that will be submitted. Was that what you were going to talk about, Charlie?
That was the question I think you had raised on the Q&A.
Yes.
My understanding of this, basically the question that was submitted in writing is, are we going to keep the old submission policy where you basically turn over all ownership of your creative content to WSO? I think we generally ask for a couple of generations of children and grandchildren as part of the agreement, just for good measure. And so I think where we are leaning, although these are sort of when you talk about all the details, you know, you can sort of say, hey, look at this great blog, and there's like a million things that really need to be sorted out. Our instinct is what we would like to do is ask people to give us the right to use the material without any limit. So in other words, it's ours to use, but it's still yours to use. That was sort of our thinking, and just make it less restrictive than the historic policy.
Yeah, the historic policy is actually what kept me from additional submissions then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I just, you know, I kind of write generally and I wanted to be able to submit it elsewhere.
Okay, so in other words, you'd be more likely to submit if we had the, we could use it, but you could
use it absolutely free. Yeah. Yeah. And as long as I can use it, give it away or sell it somewhere else.
Sure.
Perfect.
That's our plan. That is our plan.
Yeah.
Yep. And not beautiful. Exclusive license.
Mm-hmm. I knew that. I just wanted to hear it out loud. Thank you, guys.
I think that's all our quick questions that we have. I'm reading through the Q&A.
There would be a restriction on previously copyrighted material, though, I believe.
Right. Oh, yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
We actually have a form that's in process, and it simply requires that if somebody else holds a copyright, we need to get a release of that copyright, which makes sense, I think. So we'll be working out all those details, assuming we can get a go ahead from the board. And thank you very much, everybody, for your generally positive response to this. We are excited about it, and we really believe it's, as somebody said, it's the wave of the future, and a way to unite our membership in conversation around the globe. So if we have no further questions, we are sharing the time with the chair of our literature committee, David McBee, and I know he wanted to bring us some information and news about what's happening in literature.
I thought you guys were going to carry it through and I could pass, you know.
You were on a roll for a while.
Yeah, I was like, come on, you know, keep more questions. Well, really, I can actually share a screen and it might help me explain this a little bit better, at least in my own mind. All right, we've reorganized the literature committee. And that's been, I think, Charlie, over the last 6 months, we've worked on this to where instead of a bunch of different committees, semi-independent back and forth, we have an overall executive committee. And that committee will have basically somewhere between 5 and 7 subcommittees, each will have a chair. And those would meet in the executive committee once a month, hopefully not more than that. And those committees, you're going to have a recording secretary and a committee co-chair, but we're going to have a volunteer coordinator, an IT coordinator, a Comline subcommittee. These are all subcommittees, Comline you just heard from, an evaluation subcommittee, translation, development, a strategic planning, which may fold into the executive, but maybe not. And then we have a business operation and coordination subcommittee, which is going to be working with the new publishing committee, which is basically going to be handling a lot of publishing worldwide. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be some work over the next, you know, 3 or 4 months to determine either the boundaries and responsibilities of the literature committee and the publishing committee. You know, or is it literature, take it all the way to print ready, then hand it over? There's a lot of different things. So it's basically making sure that these are much more succinct than they've been. And we'll have the contracts all in one place, the publishing agreements all in one place, and to be able to have the evaluations, submission policy. We've already done a complete, it's already on in the OPPM about how it goes through. And in fact, the Loving Parent Guidebook is the first one. Well, that's not true. The therapist trifold, where we can pass it into fellowship review. The board takes a look at it as well. At that point, we can put it out. And then the fellowship gets 1 to 3 years to comment on it and see if it's worthy of becoming fully conference approved literature. The way we had it before, it just didn't really work functionally. You know, we're going to give you a book and say fellowship, yeah, it's got to be fellowship, but you haven't gotten to read it. So a lot has been improved, and it's going to be a continuing process over the next, really, I think, 3 to 6 months to really get it ironed out.
Hey, excuse me, David.
Yeah,
go ahead. This is an appeal from a couple of people with eyes like mine. They're asking if you can enlarge the size of your type of this.
No, I was going to make it smaller. So you can see it. I can try. Yeah, there's my right button. How's that?
That's much better.
Yeah. There we go. I mean, this is just a, I thought I had a template written up, but I can't find it. But these are, you know, and there may be more on here than it's going to be in that committee, but it's basically, and we have people for most of these. We need a development subcommittee chair. We have an evaluation chair. We have a translation chair. We have a Comline chair. We have an IT coordinator. Pretty sure we have a volunteer coordinator. But literature is a huge operation for us. We've held up submissions for a while. We have a few knocking at the door. We have several things in development right now that are getting closer. Several are coming right to pop out right away. So, but this is just a basic overall. I predict within the next couple of months, you'll be seeing probably an article in the Traveler that'll have a nice little bar graph that'll, you know, show everything in a more cohesive manner.
Yeah, David, if I could just add, this is, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So I have been anyway, the volunteer coordinator. And what I wanted to say is that in the last year since our last convention, when we called for volunteers, we had well over 60 people fill out the literature interest form. We had 8 or 9 literature projects go through reader review. There were 64 people who filled out evaluations on those pieces of literature. This is brand new. We've never done this before. Right. And in addition to filling out the forms, those people got together and agreed on a group conscience. So they were practicing their program in order to get to a group conscience at the same time as they were evaluating literature. Now, right now, the document that has been created by the sponsorship committee on support is out to 17, what we're calling early readers. That means it hasn't gone to literature evaluation yet. We're using the same format that the Loving Parent Guidebook used, because we know what you're going to be looking at. We know what your criteria are. So we're saying, oh, let's look at the criteria now and do some redrafting so that when we get to literature evaluation, things may go a little bit more smoothly. And so there are, you know, there, as I say, there are a lot of people right now that are looking at that document. And that's going to be the case for, you know, Getting Started is going to go through literature evaluation, right? Ready, Set, Go is already going through literature evaluation. So we've got more bigger projects coming up, but we have a good template for readers, for reader groups, which is great.
Yeah, the Loving the Beginner's Handbook as well. The and it's like on the, I went to the release party for the Loving Parent Guidebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's somewhere around 30, 40 people who worked on that thing. Not just the value, I mean, more on evaluation if you add all those in, but there was, and that's the reason the book is in the shape it's in. It had that many, not cooks spoiling the soup, that many cooks tasting the soup. It's a big difference, you know, and they, it's, you know, I'm sure we're going to have more comments, and I'm sure you're not going to please all the people all the time. Some people are not going to like some parts of the book or not, you know, that's a given. But I believe it's, I know it's the first one that's ever been done like this in the history of ACA. You know, some were had to be expedited out to save the program. I mean, a red book, you know, it's a, but yeah, we got the teams and, you know, there may be, you know, the volunteer coordinator. It's also, we also really need one overall for WSO, but literature's got a pile of people that are working. So that's a, it's a big deal. Any other questions? Hands up or? I got my hands full, let me put it that way. So, but there's a lot of great people working on it. It's the reason I accepted the job was that there would be, I didn't have to try to be in all these committees. You know, I can take a strategic overview of it, you know. Although I'm writing 2 books, so I'm teasing. So anyway.
There's a question in chat I know you can answer. It's, why isn't Tony Ace 12 steps in the Big Red Book?
Because I haven't gotten the rights to publish them yet. And that's, it's been on my agenda for several years, and it's going to be a coordinated effort this summer. Yes, I am more frustrated than anybody about that. I do a 20-week step study. I've done it a dozen times. I've gone through probably 2,000 people with it, and we use 28 steps. No, it may come to where we make a blend. You know, it's, they're not perfect either, but But yes, as soon as possible, we will have them. But I've been saying that for a couple of years. So. We were close.
If there's any literature questions at all, we've got the current literature chair. We've got the past literature chair. Any literature questions?
We got the comm line chair. We got the IT chair.
Pamela F is saying, is there professional editing? Oh, Pamela, you're right here. Well, just go ahead and ask your question.
I apologize. I was eating my lunch. My apologies. I know I'm not very involved. I like books and reading and things like that. And I love all the service, but I'm also aware that we're putting out books that we want people to read. And I'm just curious if there's a professional editing these materials.
The answer is, in this last book, as close to professionals as we've had, including formatters and proofreaders. We don't technically have what's called.
I mean, editors, not proofreading. I mean, proofreaders check the commas and all that. I'm talking about someone who.
Like a copy editor.
A copy editor. Thank you.
Right. Not officially. We are trying to fold that in. Although in this last book, actually, Charlie, I do believe that we had professionals, editors that worked on the Loving Parent Guidebook. Charlie, am I wrong or mistaken?
No, I think the important distinction is actually one of the beauties of ACA is we have a real wealth of highly talented people who actually do things professionally in their day jobs that also volunteer. So in the sense of, are we hiring somebody and paying a check? No, it's part of our volunteer corps. Christine is our volunteer coordinator. And the rounds of editing on Loving Parent Guidebook, and I'm working on another project that's sort of next up called Getting Started, will have sort of the same thing, which was when they were done with a first draft, they did a major developmental editor with a couple of professional, but in this case, donating their time, developmental editors, took it from 400 pages roughly down to 250, I think, major rewriting. And then 15 individual readers, and then a full-on copy reading and design. And I would actually say, honestly, I think a lot of books go through professional presses these days that probably have less rounds of editing and quality of editing than this one got. The other thing, which I think has been one of these, by the way, somebody, Brad, alluded to the former copy editor, or rather literature chair. I prefer the title of has-been, but I stepped aside and David stepped in at the ABC. So one of the things I really will say is that I'm most pleased by over the last 3 or 4 years, historically the model was one or two people would write a book and boom, it would be out. And it would maybe not be bad, but it would reflect their views, or with the big red book, a lot of people wrote pieces of it, but it just kind of got slapped together under duress. We have really gone much more to a group conscience, thinking about the book, plotting out the book, then writing the book, then reading and reviewing the book. And so as a result, and then as David mentioned, even then once the book is published, there's still an additional time for the fellowship to weigh in. So I think we are closer than we've ever been to a system where by the time this thing goes back to the conference for conference approval, it will have been vetted to the last degree and truly been approved by the fellowship as reflecting their experience. It's something I'm really pleased about and look forward to seeing moving further ahead in the future.
I would say that the more that our fellowship is growing, which it is, and the more people getting involved, that the pandemic has not been bad for us. I mean, we have our literature keeps pouring out the door. I mean, we thought it would slow down and it didn't. So that there's a lot more talent showing up. Case in point, a month or 2 months ago, I'm trying to figure out the electronic publishing. I'm doing research. There's all kinds of stories in different ways. And lo and behold, a volunteer shows up who literally writes books and prints them on Amazon Kindle. And I'm like, you're mine, and she's overjoyed to help us. You know, I mean, somebody with some great recovery and you know, it's I don't know what you're saying. And Ken Kesey used to say, you're on the bus or off the bus. And in ACA, when you join us, you have a tendency to fall in love with the program and want to make it better. And, you know, that's what it does for our lives, you know, so we're getting great people involved left and right.
Oh, we've got a person with their hand up. Can we go to another question, or Charlie, did you have something to add?
No. I think Corbet had her hand up a few minutes ago.
Yeah. So we'll get Corbet. Corbet.
But I will say before I get off, if Christine is the volunteer coordinator, could give us a quick pitch on how people can sign up for the literature. We really, really depend and will continue to depend on volunteers.
The best thing to do is to go to the acawso.org website, click on literature, and you will see the volunteer form pop up right there on the page.
Cool. Corbet, you can unmute yourself, I believe. Here we go.
Hi, thank you so much for, I don't know how to get my stuff, sorry. Okay, thanks so much, everybody. My question is, my intergroup chair and I wanna write a 12 and 12 and 12, and we're wondering if we can quote the Red Book. And I'm going to volunteer to write for this blog. I think it's fantastic. Yay. Good job, everybody. Thank you.
Okay. Email me and we can talk about that. We actually have, I think, one in development that's a 12 and 12 is not a, there's a service manual that includes that work. So, but email me at litchair@acawso.org. We can talk about it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your energy and positivity.
Yep.
Okay. So, anybody else want to ask a question?
I yield my time.
I put the wrong form up. Christine has the literature one. I put the general one up.
Yeah, Sarah A. Has raised her hand.
Okay, Sarah, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm unmuted. So you can hear me now, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and I don't know how to make my picture, but anyway, I noticed that in the Red Book, it talks about we restructure our sick thinking, but it doesn't say how to do that. And I'm wondering if anything will be expounded upon regarding that, like all or nothing thinking and things like that.
Actually, there's a book called The Loving Parent Guidebook that it definitely covers that. I think that at some point, we'll take the Red Book apart and put it back together with some pieces that need to be, that'll be in the service manual, and we'll be looking to get re-evaluated in the Yellow Book. But as I mentioned earlier, fortunately, we're not like AA, that we have 164 pages chiseled in granite. That book was a great book. It saved our fellowship, but it was put together out of 1500 pages and a lot of years, and it got out in time. We were down to 300 meetings when that book was published. So we're at 3000 plus in the US. So that book saved us, but it's That's one of the reasons the Loving Parent Guidebook is there, because it's really, to me, in my recovery, and it was my opinion, the real, I knew about the problems of this fellowship and I identified with ACA from the year 2000, but the real recovery began with the becoming your own loving parent. And that's, I found that in the Yellow and Red book, but it's a lot clearer in the Loving Parent Guidebook. I hope that answers your question.
And I've got another quick question. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. So somebody mentioned that what's offensive to one person is not offensive to somebody else. And I do agree with that. And it was referring to the blog. And I've experienced that even in meetings, the same can apply. And I've experienced anti-Semitism twice. Once in a meeting and once where it was actually one-on-one. And and the first time in a meeting, I actually brought it up, went to the business meeting. It took 3 business meetings and nobody else had a problem with it. And they wouldn't even vote on whether, to like avoid mentioning any particular group of people. Anyway, so I'm just wondering, how do you, because people get offended over different things, how do you, for like a safety thing, how do you kind of make mention of the fact that like groups of people don't need to be mentioned in a negative way? In fact, in the first situation, it was during a breakout group and somebody was telling somebody else there's a good book, not conference approved, about grief. And it's about a Palestinian woman whose daughter was killed by an Israeli. I think the same thing could have been said without mentioning Palestinian or Israeli. You know, it's a book about grief whose daughter was killed, period, the end. I'm just wondering, how do you?
We don't have any. You know, we're not in control of meetings. The only thing we have is whether we list them or not. That's really a group conscience of the meeting. And we do have a predatory behavior. And it's certainly, there's a lot of different ethnic groups. I mean, but a negative content about one is different than bringing up the historical content. It's, but that's kind of out of our ballyhoo. We wouldn't encourage or condone anti-Semitic writing in our books, but we can't, what goes on. I've heard things at meetings where I've left the meeting, both in AA and more in AA than ACA.
Okay.
Anybody else want to pick up that hand grenade?
Right, there you go.
You had another question, or is that good? Nope, she's done.
I would say we're all responsible for our own recovery. And if things don't work right in meetings, there's 3,000 meetings. And the pandemic has been horrible, but the silver lining is there's much more access now to meetings all over the world, and everybody should find one that's right for them. As a meeting, as David explained, meetings are autonomous. So Sergio has had his, I'm sorry if I'm saying your name wrong.
No. Hello, my name is Sergio, and no, you were saying it right. Thank you. I'm a adult child. From Los Angeles. I'm pretty new to the whole program. I'm in about my 5th or 6th meeting on ACA. Pretty nervous. And first of all, I just want to, today has been incredible for me. I've been here since the conference began, since everything began, and I haven't been able to unplug any second. I think I haven't spent a productive Saturday I can remember since when. And I'm seeing your blogs, and I can't believe, I'm pretty new to this. And I have this urges, like I want to volunteer. I have this sense of belonging in this ACA fellowship. And, you know, but at the same time, I don't have the experience with the program. So I'm kind of debating myself. You know, I would love to volunteer like nothing else. And at the same time, I'm kind of holding back, not knowing, you know, should I apply? Should I be, I don't even know what I would be doing. So I just want to put it out there. Like, the whole blog, the whole website is fantastic. Like, I can't wait to have 2 years in my belt or something to start writing and sharing my story and to be part of it. So I guess my question is, would you recommend, even though I don't have a lot of experience in the program, to volunteer, or what can you tell me about that? Thank you.
Who would like to take that one? Charlie?
Sergio, first off, welcome. I think pretty much everybody in this call would tell you you have walked into an experience that will change your life. The one thing I will say about getting into service super quickly is it can actually pull your focus away from the very first essentials of recovery. Also, I will say within ACA, because of the fact that the family settings we grew up in, sometimes working in groups is a challenge, even with people for more time. I would really suggest, as a starting point, you focus on finding a group meeting or a couple of meetings you feel really comfortable with, finding people you feel comfortable asking questions of and learning the program from, and just kind of keep it in mind, you know, for sure. I think oftentimes, like, and I will say this because I've been in other fellowships too, it seems to work better to start with small forms of local service. And then as you get fully established, believe me, you'll be welcome. But I just think it has tended to work out better for volunteers to give themselves a little time to simply get steeped and comfortable in the program. The other thing I will say, like other fellowships, all the answers, even in recovery, tend not to come in the first 24 hours. It really, that phrase keep coming back really is very real. The smoke starts clearing. So, but anyway, welcome. So glad you've been here today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Sergio, I would say that I started just service. A lot of us just started service in our own meetings just by being timekeeper. Or leading a meeting, or come into an inner group, but I think Charlie's right about getting. I don't know how new you are, but just getting a little bit of recovery under your belt, and then looking at larger level service. I think we have eight minutes till 11:40. Next question, Julianne.
Thank you, Brad. I actually wanted to speak to the person who was talking about anti-Semitism in a meeting. It's very easy to get frustrated by things that hinder or put roadblocks in the way of my recovery. And when I spoke earlier about what's offensive to one person is not necessarily offensive to another, I'm very vocal. And I speak up. And I also know that not every meeting can meet every person's needs. And fortunately, there are a lot of meetings out there. Depending on how much time someone has in recovery, what I did is I started a meeting because there wasn't one out there that met the needs that I had specifically. I had to learn how to stop being frustrated and start being proactive. And that was incredibly difficult for me. And it was one of the scariest things that I did in my personal recovery, because it was so easy for me to sit back and go, I'm angry. I want this to change. I want this group that I've been going to for so long to stop being the way they are. And that wasn't going to happen. And leaving a group sometimes felt very much like leaving my family of origin. It was depressing. It was sad. I grieved. I was angry. And it was also incredibly good for my recovery to find the courage to do that. And that's all I wanted to share about that. Thanks.
Thank you, Julianne. Appreciate that. That rings true with the, we're all responsible for our own recovery. And if the program has a lot to offer, so forth, but if a group is not right, if a part of the program doesn't sit, you know, that doesn't mean we should throw out the recovery. We need to find the right sponsor or the right study group or the right meeting. So thanks for encouraging that. Ren.
Thanks everyone for your important contributions and the amazing speed of evolution of the work that's happening about compulsive obsessive behaviors that are rooted in our family of origin. And to, I'm a minority from what we call in my community, a cisgendered female. And I've struggled many, many years, over three decades in at least five different 12-step recoveries. That truly is the only reason I'm still alive. I come from a family of twins. Both parents were twins. I'm a twin. My mother's twins had twins. And I jokingly say, soundbite, why do you think my sister and I are gay? You know, but to the point about sensitivity and whose perspective, I've had to learn, because growing up in the alcoholic, destructive, violent, sexual abuse environment, that like a lot of us, I started early becoming a parent, and now have learned what that means for me as a loving inner parent, is to, one, know when this does not serve me, and two, what can I do? And one of my other little sound bites is, I may not like your meeting, but I will go to your business meeting. And that's what I've had to learn in terms of self-care, well-being, letting go, having the sadness, having the anger, and growing. So I hope that's of some support, because I have to let go of other people's ignorances. For how many times people misgender me, I don't jump on it. I have learned from elders in my family of origin that it's not, you know, going to be a practical thing for to expect my grandmother to call me they. She's going to call me she forever. And I have to learn where I can make a difference, where it allows my control needs and power concerns to be aligned with my relationship with my higher power. I don't know if that makes any sense to others, but it's made a difference for me. Thanks.
Okay, we have maybe 1 minute left. I just want to thank people, but also we've kind of moved into a little bit of shares here rather than questions. Does anyone have a quick question for literature? Okay. Okay. Okay, so I guess it'll be my job. I just want to thank everybody on the committee. Everyone in this place does tons of service. Literature is really core. I want to especially thank Christine for leading this comm line. She thanks me all the time, but I would never be doing any of this if she hadn't stepped up to do it. And it's I just want to say the Comline team is a really fun team to work with.
We are fun. You all come down. And I guess we should end this session with the Serenity Prayer, the ACA version of the Serenity Prayer, because that's what we do. So deep breath in. God, grant me the serenity.
This ready to accept the things
the people I cannot change.
People I cannot change.
Courage to change the one I can.
I can.
And the wisdom to know
that
I wanted to make.
Thank you so much,
everybody.